Take your Bible, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you haven't started yet, I want to encourage you to begin our summer project of taking time each day to read the Gospel of Matthew and to pray. You know, the Gospels were written for us so that we might know who our Lord Jesus Christ is, so that we might know what He taught and what He did. And they were written so that we might see His deep passion for God and His great compassion for people. And what a great blessing it is for us to pray. You know, if you think about it, the fact that we can call upon the Creator of the heavens and the earth and that He invites us to pray, it's a really startling reality when you think about it. And God is always, always there to hear our prayers. In Psalm 17:6, David's saying, "I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God." Think about that. And in fact, I think there's a verse somewhere in the Old Testament where God says, "Before you call, I will answer." I can't think of the exact verse right now. Maybe someday I should learn the Bible. And you know, the New Testament encourages us to pray. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing." And that in the Greek means, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. So let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9 and learn from our Savior how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus Christ said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven." Now let's stop right there and let's focus on one word, our. O-U-R. Our. Jesus Christ could have said, begin to pray like this: "Dear God," or "Almighty God," or "Righteous Lord," or "Holy Father," or even "My God." But Christ begins this model prayer with the plural word our, O-U-R, and he reveals to us a profound truth. When you pray "Our Father," or with an "Our Father" attitude, it means that you are not going to God alone, right? Plural pronoun "our." First and foremost, when you pray, you are calling on God your Father along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your ribbon here in Matthew, but turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Now, adoption is not how you became a child of God, not how you became a son. You became a son by the new birth. The phrase adoption has a reference to your standing before God. In the ancient culture that Paul lived in, when you were adopted, even if you were a natural-born son or daughter, it meant that you were now the heir of the person you adopted. Often a slave was adopted into a family, and that meant that their old past was gone. They have a new life now, a new name, a new destiny. That's what it means when, in the Word of God, when it talks about we're adopted. Verse 5, "God redeemed us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" Abba is an Aramaic word for daddy, dad, papa. So when you pray, you're not praying alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is also praying with you. He inside of you is crying out to God, "Abba, Father." Ephesians 2:18 tells us that it's through Christ that we have access by one Spirit unto God. So many times we get cavalier about this and we think we have access to God just because of who we are. That's not true. We have access to God through Christ. He is our intercessor, it says in Hebrews chapter 7. 1 John says that he is our advocate. This should bring so much great comfort to you and to me, because when we come before God in prayer, when I come before God in prayer, I do not stand there and make requests based upon my own merits. I stand before God and I make my request known to him based upon the merits of my Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord Jesus Christ and I stand together and we pray before God, our Father. Our Father. That I should be able to say, along with Jesus Christ, our Father. What a tremendous blessing that is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us, now let's look at this carefully, he made us accepted where? In the beloved. In the beloved. When Jesus Christ teaches us to pray our Father, it's because we come to God through Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the presence of the Holy One on high because we are accepted in whom? In the beloved. In the beloved. Therefore, when Jesus Christ teaches us to pray our Father, it means that he, the beloved one, is presenting us to God. And that is an exceedingly exciting and wonderful truth to understand. Secondly, when we pray our Father, the plural pronoun our means that we are to think of ourselves and our prayers in the context of the family of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5 says that we, being many, are one body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25 says that because we're one body, we should have the same care for one another. The words our Father calls us to be concerned about each and every one in the family of God. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. There is no word I and there is no word me in this model prayer. Let's look at verse 9. There is our Father. Look at verse 11. It is give us, verse 12. Forgive us, verse 13. Do not lead, what's the next word? Us. But deliver us. Us. Yes, I can pray for my own needs and I can pray for my own concerns, but my prayers must not begin and start with me, myself, and I. We can pray for our own needs and our own concerns, but the Christian reality does not begin and start with moi. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I say our Father, I am admitting that I am not the only one coming before God in the entire world. When I say our Father, when I pray with an our Father attitude, it's not the words that are important, it's the heart that's important. When I pray with an our Father attitude, I'm saying I'm in fellowship with Bill and Belle and Marilee and Tamara. When I pray with an Our Father attitude, I'm saying that I care about your needs, your concerns, just as much as I care about my own needs. Do we pray like that? Do we, when we pray to God, do we just share our concerns, or does the, and I don't mean this in a negative sense, but does the burden of the cares and concerns of your brothers and sisters, are they on your heart? When Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray, he says, let's remember we're in this thing together. Our Father, our Father. When we pray with an our Father attitude, then we are living out the command that the Apostle Paul gave us, that let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. You know, we're also very different here. Some of us are very young. Some of us are middle-aged. Some of us are very old, like me. We're male and female. We're black, we're white, we're Hispanic. We each have our own hopes and our own dreams and our own concerns. But when we pray with an Our Father perspective, we're proclaiming that we are one in Christ and that we care for one another and that we love one another and that your needs matter to me, and I hope that my needs matter to you. So when our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray with an Our Father attitude of heart, he intends for us to understand that, number one, we don't go to God alone. We go to God and stand before him, accepted in the Beloved, and that his Spirit within us is also crying out as we pray, Abba, Father. Secondly, he wants us to understand that we belong to a family with family needs and family concerns. And we're to care for one another and intercede for one another. And thirdly, the plural Our Father teaches us the importance and the power of our praying together as a church, about the importance of corporate prayer. We're going to go through the book of Acts right now, not each and every chapter, but I'm going to show you highlights of what happened when the church prayed together. So let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he told the apostles and the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And so the apostles and the disciples gathered together, and they were committed to praying with one another. Verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And what was the result? Well, the result was that they were given wisdom to choose someone to replace Judas as an apostle. Look at verse 24. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So when they gathered together to pray as a family, they were given wisdom as to who to vote for to replace Judas as an apostle. Turn to Acts chapter 2. After Pentecost, after Peter's sermon and the pouring out of the gift of Holy Spirit, about 3,000 people got born again and saved and joined themselves into fellowship with the apostles. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And the Greek word for prayer here means prayer having a regard to personal devotion and understanding God's great power. What was the result? Verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were arrested for teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and for healing a man. And after they were threatened and released from the authorities, they went back to their fellowship, and they got together and they prayed. Verse 23, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's what they prayed together. Now, what was the result? Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness. Boldness. Turn to Acts chapter 12. King Herod put Peter in prison after killing James, the Lord's brother, and Peter was going to face the same fate. Acts chapter 12. But the church got together after Peter was arrested, and they prayed for him. Together they prayed. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What was the result? Verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off. His chains fell off. Turn to Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi. But instead of grumbling and complaining and moaning about, why am I in prison? Why was I beaten? I'm just trying to do a nice thing and tell people the word. They sang and they prayed together. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What was the result? Next verse. Verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household. And that's exactly what happened. If Paul and Silas had been grumbling and complaining and moaning instead of praying together, they would have still been chained to the stocks instead of the earthquake and the miracle of the new birth and the salvation of this jailer and his family. One last place, Acts chapter 20. On his final visit with the believers in Asia Minor, Paul met with all of the elders from the church at Ephesus, and he encouraged them to be strong in the faith. Then verse 36 describes their final act together. It says, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. What was the result of them praying together? Verse 37. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. What a tender, tender, loving, warm picture that is. Let me sum up what I hope we've learned this morning. When we pray with an Our Father attitude, we're remembering that we do not pray alone, but that we pray with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our big brother stands with us next to God, and together we say, Our Father. When we pray with an Our Father attitude of heart, we pray with an awareness that we are praying with the family of God and for the family of God. When we pray with an Our Father commitment together as a church, we will be given divine wisdom. There will be signs and wonders. There will be bold witnessing that will be taking place. People will be set free and be saved. And last but not least, there will be a sweet, tender, love that is developed between us, so that when one of us leaves, we sorrow to see that person go because they are so dear to our hearts. This is what I'd like in this church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. Help us to be the kind of people who are constantly aware of the fact that when we pray, we are praying our dear Father, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, along with one another, and together boldly praying so that you might work boldly in our lives for your glory and for our own good. And I ask this in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.